is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another Inside Douglas County program. Today, we're going to take a look at education. A lot of people with questions, and it's an evolving situation, to say the least. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District, brave enough to come in and tackle the topic today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kyle. Glad to be here.
Well, give us an overview of how things at this point appear to be looking for Sutherland.
Well, again, you just said that it's been an interesting summer and an interesting spring. So we just now announced plans that we are going to do everything we can to open our schools K-3 for those students, and that every other grade level at this particular point in time, at least for the first quarter, will be through comprehensive distance learning.
So how long ago did you put that out to parents?
Today.
Wow.
About 2 hours ago.
So we're getting it pretty much right at the front end here for people that are listening, especially of interest in the Sutherland District. What went into crafting that model?
Well, obviously, there's been a lot of shifting since the spring, and actually, we had our all of the guidance that came from the Department of Ed and Oregon Health Authority. We examined all of that, and we've had a reopening committee that's been meeting monthly and actually probably every 2 weeks. And so when we finally came to the point to where the Oregon Health Authority and our local health authority could tell us that we've met the metrics to bring back at least one level, the K-3 students, we decided to move with that model. We originally started planning to open all buildings, and at this particular point in time, we are not meeting the metrics to do that.
And one of the issues there is not only the metrics for this county, but the metrics for the state as a whole being an issue.
Yeah, so to meet the metrics for the 4 through 12, you have to be, I believe, the state has to be under 30 positive cases per 100,000, and they're not there at this particular point in time. Excuse me, it has to be under 10, sorry.
So how hard has it been to craft a starting point when so many factors are up in the air?
Well, I think most people would say it's been nearly impossible. I think for the entire spring, since March, our schools have been asked to do the impossible, and schools have been doing that at this particular point in time. I can say that the schools across Douglas County and all the superintendents and staff that I've worked with have done an amazing job. I think there's been a lot of cooperation between everybody in the county, and while it was difficult, everybody just had to move forward with what they knew.
So when it comes to COVID-19, it sounds like, though, you have to be ready for changes as you evolve through the school year.
Yes. So right now, at this particular point in time, we are planning to reopen K-3, but we understand that the metrics could change, that the numbers could change in the county, and we have to make a shift. That could occur before we even open. But it is my philosophy and the philosophy of our board that it is best for our students to get them in the classroom, get them around, you know, positive influences, and especially for those very young students, get them introduced to school, social emotional learning, and get them learning to read.
But as you have unrolled this plan today, if that changes and you have to shift, you've got to be already planning now for that.
That is correct. We are planning to have comprehensive distance learning for all students if need be.
And so at this point, it's sort of like planning for two different things and not being totally sure which one you're going with until you're almost there.
Yeah, but I think, and while that is extremely difficult, I think we've been doing it since March. So this is nothing new that we're not familiar with. It's very difficult. It's very difficult on staff. It's very difficult on students. And it's especially difficult on our parents who are trying to make plans for the fall.
And I know for teachers and others in education, you normally have a few weeks off in the summer. Just how much that is varies. And for administrators and superintendents, people like yourself, there's a lesser sort of block of time off. But has anybody really got any time off this summer?
Well, I would say say in our district, some people have got time off. I think it's been we've tried to force or allow staff to have time, but with the conditions as they are, I think that when you do take the time off, it's always on your mind. And so, you know, our teachers, from our teachers to our custodians to our transportation people to the administrators, it's always on everybody's mind. And so, yeah, it's been a different summer.
And it probably involves a whole lot of emails and texts between different folks who normally might not see each other for half the summer.
Yeah, exactly. And with the social distancing and some of the guidelines that are set up, you know, there some of the in-person meetings that we might possibly have aren't occurring. And so you're trying to meet virtually, and that makes it even more difficult. But yeah, there's a lot of emails, a lot of texts going on between staff members.
So if you get K-3 going back in the school building, what are some of the changes, even with that people would see, kids would experience?
Well, obviously, if you've looked at the guidance at all students would have to wear face mask or face coverings. All staff would also have to do that. So that is, I think, one of the major changes, and I think one of the major sticking points for some parents. I think that's difficult to, and staff, to say how hard is it going to be to keep a face covering on a kindergarten student. I think you're also going to see changes in, for us, it'll most likely mean a change in arrival and departure times. Probably not major, but it's going to influence transportation. It's going to influence where students come in the classroom. It's going to influence how they eat lunch. We are advised and told that we need to keep our students in the smallest cohorts as possible. So we're going to be having students enter in different doorways at different age groups, and it's just going to look way different.
Now, you've got with different buildings, there's different models of just how they're laid out. A lot of schools in Oregon have the sort of the open, where you can go directly to your classroom, which in this case is a little bit of an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and we will, because we have a K-2 building and a 3-5 building, there will be one grade level at West Intermediate and three grade levels at East Primary. And so we are working out the details as to how students will enter those buildings. But the way the buildings are set up, we think we'll be able to have them take separate entrances, especially at East Primary.
How do you do lunch?
Well, that's going to be interesting, Kyle. We have an amazing food service staff that have guaranteed that we will make sure we feed students. Most likely, students are going to be fed in the classroom. Food will be prepared in the cafeteria as usual, but delivered through hot carts to individual classes.
So a whole nother pile of logistics there. And in terms of teacher prep time or a little break or something, that changes all that too.
It changes all of that. And while we don't have all of those details worked out, obviously, but people are going to take on a lot of different responsibilities, from teachers to instructional assistants to secretaries to quite possibly the superintendent. We're all going to be busy taking on other responsibilities that we may not have done in the past.
What do you do about like music teachers, where kids would normally go to a music class or maybe some other class?
Again, that's something that we're working on at this particular point in time. It's been advised that music courses aren't necessarily something that should take place because of the possibility of spreading the virus more. So we're looking at what that might look like, from things like rhythm and movement to other possibilities. And so that right now is a little bit up in the air, but we can also use that particular staff member in a different capacity if needed.
And even when you talk about social distancing for both staff and students, there's even things like, for the grade school kids, what do you do with the playground?
And again, that's another another ball of wax. And, we believe that we will have to have each cohort, each small classroom, have their own recess, equipment. We probably won't be climbing on the monkey bars and using the swings. That's not going to happen. So again, that's going to come to an individual building basis on how we do that and how that works in the schedule, and probably a little bit on each individual teacher and how that works.
And then you even have for younger kids who kind of need to get up, get that pent-up energy out, then you got to figure out how do you deal with that if they can just basically go outside and stand around or do something else.
Right. And I know I think districts around the state, districts around the nation, and in particular, I think here in the county, have started to realize, you know, how important it is to give our students brain breaks, make sure our students are getting physical activity. And we've done a lot of work with that in Sutherland. And I think that's something that's going to have to take place on an individual classroom basis. Students are going to have to be given breaks, and the pace of the day is going to look way different than before.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District with us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, meet the new director of CASA of Douglas County. Superintendent Terry Prestiani from the Sutherland School District this afternoon. Just in the past couple of hours, putting out current guidance for parents as to what they're hoping to start the school year out like. And it's been a back and forth, I'm sure, for you all summer long.
Yeah. It's changed as guidance has changed, and it's changed as the number of cases in the county and the state has changed.
So, at this point, when would staff be returning? When would kids actually return to being in school?
So, right now, the current schedule that we have adopted is we adopted a new schedule this summer. We are going to start the first day of school for students will be the 8th of September, and the first day for staff at this particular point in time is the 31st of August.
Because there's going to probably be a little more need for some preparation.
Yeah, we've bumped the schedule out. We bumped our calendar out 1 week, and we've also adopted a 4-day-a-week instruction calendar just for this particular year. And then now we're working on the start and end times for both or all of our buildings.
So that 4-day thing is going to be a new wrinkle too.
Yes, it'll change some things, but we feel like it puts us in a better situation for transportation, food service, and knowing that we will have some students on our campuses working on site, and then we'll have some students who are going to be, parents who are not comfortable sending their children to school for various reasons. So we're going to have to provide comprehensive distance learning for that group also, and so that hopefully gives our teachers a little more time to not only provide on-site instruction K-3, but then to provide instruction and help for those who are doing comprehensive distance learning.
So like a teacher, let's say second grade, would they then be dealing with the class of kids they have there and also the ones that are online?
Again, that's a detail we haven't completely worked out, but most likely the answer is yes. We will be looking to see if there are some staff who may be working exclusively with students who are in comprehensive distance learning, and some may be working in the classroom. That really is a detail we're going to have to work out as August rolls through.
When March took place and all the districts went from this, it's going to be an extra long spring break to you're not coming back and everything. Districts had to unroll plans essentially on a dime that you would have normally, in normal times, if you had decided, well, let's move to this, you would have spent months working on it. You would have had committees, you would have had groups, and suddenly you've got to do it in 2 weeks. And I think everybody has looked at that and said, however that came out, you probably need to be able to do it better this fall.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think, speaking for our district, I think I know our staff did a great job of rolling out what we rolled out in the spring, and very happy with the outcomes, knowing what we had to deal with. But we also know that it was not sufficient. We also, as a school board and myself, believe that no form of comprehensive distance learning is a match for what we can do with students in the building. So we know that whatever we put forth this fall will be much better. It'll be much more comprehensive. There's going to be, a more established curriculum and a lot more teacher-student contact.
And do you feel like going forward, based on how the spring went and maybe how fall will go, if things shift back to just being in person at some point this year, that for all students there's going to be kind of a catch-up or kind of a lag in just some of the learning that hasn't taken place?
Well, it's obvious that there would be a little bit of a lag in the learning that has taken place. I mean, we know that we were not able to engage all students for a long period of time. So there's going to be a little bit of a lag. And teachers have looked at that and are going to adjust as we hit the fall. And again, like I say, I believe wholeheartedly that comprehensive distance learning, can be successful, but it's not. It's not the same thing as having students in the classroom. And so, yes, there's going to be some catch up at some point.
So for the grade 4 and above students under the current plan right now, are you having to do some things in terms of making sure they have technologies to do the work online?
Yes. So we've actually done a number of things in preparation for this fall. We have gone to an online registration system so parents can register online and actually pay fees online. That just rolled out earlier this week. And then in that online registration system, we were able to ask questions about the need for technology, not only the actual devices, but also connectivity. So we know already from the spring, places where connectivity is an issue. And I believe we handed out a little over 400 Chromebooks last spring, and we anticipate doing the same this time. And we are better equipped for connectivity at this point.
Now, I know in one of the national stories, they talked about school districts all over the country are doing similar things and dealing with different issues, especially places that are the bigger cities where it's going to be all online for maybe the whole school year. And I've been told that there's also kind of a shortage of getting like Chromebooks and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that could be a problem for every district. I mean, to say that it won't be a problem would be, I think it could happen. I believe that we were fairly well prepared last year with technology, and we were able to jump on the bandwagon pretty quickly this spring and purchase more items before a real shortage occurred.
What about working parents if they've got kids at home? Now, fourth grade and above, that changes it a bit versus some districts that are just going to start out online even for younger kids. But even at fourth grade, there's probably some concerns about kids doing this at home by themselves.
Yeah, that's a huge concern for us as a district. I feel that we have we know we have a great number of parents who work and have difficulty finding childcare. And childcare is an issue no matter what situation we're in around the county. So we're hoping, we're asking a lot of questions, we're investigating, we're researching the ability of, at least trying to provide some childcare for our own staff members. And then, looking at what we can do to assist the community in childcare. I know that we won't necessarily be able to provide that, but who can we partner with to make that happen?
And when you get into the childcare issue, you get into sort of the cohort issue and numbers of kids in places, and that changes the abilities of childcare providers, and sometimes also based on the size of their home, for instance.
Exactly. That's a huge issue. I don't know how parents are going to deal with that. I understand that it's a real problem for them, and that's one of the reasons we really felt that it was important for us to try to get all of our students in school if possible, because that just severely limits what parents can do in terms of work.
So for parents in the Sutherland School District, emails went out 2-3 hours ago. Do you have information that is up now or will be up online on your website?
It will be later this afternoon, yes.
And the Sutherland School District website is? Google Sutherland.
There you go. Yeah. You can find it.
And Superintendent Terry Prestiani wrapping up our time. This is going to be an evolving and unique school year, probably another school year unlike any other in your career.
Yes, definitely different than anything I've experienced in my 30 years, Bobby.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Have 12, a good day.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.